Them Evil Empire guys gonna get shot for playing this record.
I got niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Once upon a time, I went to a party, went to go have sex with my girlfriend. Oh shit, this guy came up. He said, "Get your pants down, bitch. I was a white cracker. Then he went in my bedroom and then he said, "I'm putting my dick in your butthole. It's niggas in my butthole, 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 niggas in my butthole."
Yo, what up, niggas? Welcome back to I Just Had a Terrible Thought. It's the only show on the internet. My name is Kyle, and with me this week is Bames.
I'm in your area, Kyle.
You're in my area?
Yeah, I know the first three numbers.
Is this a song reference? I feel like you're usually making song references when you do this.
That's my thing. I had to come up with one on the spot. You got a better one?
You just always reference songs, and then I don't know what you're referencing.
Yeah, because you're a Philistine.
Yeah, because I'm not listening to all that hilarious rap you listen to, ironically.
Yeah.
So, Bames, it's been a while. I just put up the show we did 2 weeks ago yesterday.
That I didn't want you to put up. And I forgot why. I haven't listened to it to remember why.
I saw you say a couple of times, don't put it up, it's a bad one, but I don't know what you're referring to when you say that.
The first time I said it probably would have been like in a fight bait chat. And at that point, I'm sure I did remember, but now the only thing I remember is that I didn't like that episode.
I thought it was fine for the most part. I mean, it peters out at the end, but...
Yeah, as these tend to do.
Yeah. I tend to just let them go until I realize they've petered out, and then I'm like, oh yeah, we're still recording.
No shit, we're at the part where we're talking about stuff in Bames's room.
Yeah. Well, Bames. You hear about this Gamergate thing?
Yeah, I heard about it through you being a rude motherfucker on Twitter.
A rude motherfucker?
I think you were being a little rude.
What did I do that was so rude?
Pretty much, I think it's mostly limited to your interaction with the Alpha Boys.
With
just all of them.
All of them?
Not just the one today, but just Chuck, mostly Sean, because he's, you know, the face.
Well, I did say some things to Sean the other day, and I did say some things to Chuck today. I think I was way ruder to Chuck, but that's because Chuck told a flat-out lie and then refused to admit it. Sean, I don't even really remember. I just remember that Sean... Here's the thing. It's been pissing me off that people are taking this attitude of... I don't care. I'm not paying attention. Therefore, I'm like the coolest. I'm such a cool guy. I don't even know what's going on. Like that's not cool. And then to then run your mouth about how these idiots are just blah, 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 but you don't know what's going on. You're not paying attention. That doesn't make you a super cool guy because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Like for me, like I like to take the piss out of the situation by posting like Raycipe Shrek videos and saying that it's about it, but really other than like the stuff that I see on Twitter, I don't really purport myself to know anything about the situation.
And so that kind of pissed me off, like, because Sean's trying to take this holier than thou attitude and he doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and then I tell him what the fuck is going on and he's like, oh, that doesn't matter, and then I send him a bunch of links to explain why it does matter and he doesn't look at them. So fuck him then. Like, keep your fucking mouth shut. You don't know what you're talking about.
I will say that on your part, it does ring a little close to like, check out Infowars.com if you want to get educated on this.
That's because you haven't been paying attention.
I guess.
There is some like conspiracy theory-y kind of stuff that goes around. Like some stuff that even I think is like, well, okay, that's... You guys are digging a little too deep, making a few connections that don't quite make sense. Like, if you look into it, if you're actually following it and you look into it deep enough, there are people talking about connections to DARPA. I'm not running around spouting about how DARPA is running the video game industry.
Hey, it's one of their most secret black projects.
That's some like poll shit from 4chan. And there actually is a connection. It's just that it doesn't really mean anything. There's a project that's been funded by DARPA that's related to video games, that's related to this Silver String company, and this Silver String company employs a bunch of video game developers. There is a connection, but it's not like some government conspiracy.
Kotaku is run by reptilians.
It's just that DARPA funds all kinds of shit. They just throw money at shit.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where to start with this thing. Oh, I was rude to Chuck. Chuck was doing the same thing, only worse than what Sean was doing. Chuck, of Road Rage, he made this post on Twitter. He said, oh, Zoe Quinn just proved that everyone using the Gamergate hashtag is a loser, not a loser, a looter. He kept using the term looter. She just proved that they're all looters. And by looters, I guess he means he's talking about, like, he's making a metaphor. He's talking about people who are doing bad stuff, doxing people and harassing people and things. Which is just not true. That is not what happened. It is not true that she proved that that everyone complaining about games journalism on the Gamergate hashtag is a looter. And so that pissed me off. And then he refused to admit that he had just lied. Instead, he pretended he said something else. And so I kept linking him back to what he actually said, and he refused to admit it. I even flat out said, what you said in this first tweet that I responded to was not true. Agree or disagree. He never responded to that.
I don't know. When I say rude, I mostly just think, I don't know how to word it, but I feel like if it were me in the situation, I would have. It seemed, I don't know. I don't want to say tactless because that's not what I really mean, but it seemed like rude wording.
But that's, well, it was rude wording. I said to Chuck, you're an idiot, Chuck.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Because he is, because he wasn't paying attention. And then he was making this blanket statement. And then when I was arguing with him about it, he's like, okay, what I actually meant was that the public opinion has been spun. It's been ruined by a handful of jerks or whatever, which isn't what he said. And so, so I argued with him about that. And then, so he's saying that the people using the hashtag aren't necessarily wrong, but that public opinion has been spun against them and it's over now. Okay, fine. I suppose that might be true. But if you don't think they're wrong, why are you actively trying to campaign against them?
Yeah, I guess I'm just, the position I'm speaking from is just being not confrontational at all on Twitter.
See, that I think
is bad at that.
That I think is kind of silly, because I don't give a fuck about Chuck, to be honest. He's not a pal of mine. I like Sean, but if Sean does something I think is fucking stupid, I'm going to tell him.
Yeah. So, Gamergate.
Gamergate.
Before we espouse our opinions, I think that's the worst name in the world.
Yeah, I think Adam Baldwin came up with it. Adam Baldwin of Firefly and Chuck. I think he plays Jane on Firefly. I never really watched Firefly. Big hulking white man.
Is he the guy who used hashtags like really?
Maybe.
I remember. Yeah, I think it was Adam Baldwin. I saw some pictures of his tweets where he was like talking to somebody about them and he used hashtags that were like full phrases, and that made me laugh. But that's just because it made me think of Crafty Matt.
Yeah, I don't really remember him doing that, but he very well may have. He latched onto it because he just caught wind of it somehow. Like, he saw it. He saw somebody talking about it somewhere on Twitter, and he just started tweeting about it. Like, people didn't bring him in on purpose. He just jumped on it. He started reading articles, and he started tweeting about it. And then some hit pieces were written about him that were lies.
I think he is the voice actor for the Green Lantern in new, like, DC games.
He has done video game voice acting. I know that. So that might be kind of how it came to his attention. I don't know if he plays games or not.
Yeah.
But I think he came up with the Gamergate hashtag, and people just organically latched onto it and started using it. But so the whole thing, we talked about it a little bit in the last show, which was a couple weeks ago. The whole thing started with Zoe Quinn and her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend, she cheated on him with five guys, and he wrote this expose about it, including a whole bunch of chat logs that prove what he's saying. So it's not just his word against hers. It's like, it's fucking there. And then he put up a YouTube video showing him pulling up the chat logs to prove that they weren't fake. So that stuff's like real. So if somebody's running around saying it's just the word of some jilted ex-lover, he doesn't, you know, it's just his word. It's probably fake. It's not. It's not fake. You can condemn him for what he did. You can say it was a shitty thing for him to do, but it's not fake.
Yeah.
So then that, you know, somebody cheated on somebody. So what? So then, but it turns out she cheated on him, with three of the five guys that she cheated on him with, were identified by him. The other two were not. He did not confirm who they were. The three that he did confirm were her boss, a guy named Nathan Grayson from Kotaku, and a guy named Robin Arnott, who was a judge at IGF, which is an indie game competition. Nathan Grayson wrote articles where he talked about Zoe and Depression Quest and what a great game it is. And they weren't reviews, but they were articles where he mentioned her. And he was singling her out of like everybody who was getting on Steam Greenlight, I think. So he went out of his way to mention her. Supposedly, according to the timeline, is that he wrote these articles after their relationship, or I'm sorry, before their relationship started. He wrote them on, or one of them, or like the last one he wrote on like March 31st or something like that. And they didn't start banging until early April, but they had gone.
Yeah. Wait, no, I did watch, a video. It was by that internet aristocrat guy or whatever, who said like the relationship purportedly started the day after, which is convenient, I guess.
Well, I believe what they said was early April and they didn't specify a date. So it could have been as early as the day after. but then people kept digging and they found these Twitter conversations between Zoe and Nathan Grayson from before that, where, but from before he wrote those articles, where they're talking about taking a trip together to Las Vegas. So at the very least, they were good pals. And then Robin Arnott was judging this IGF, this indie games competition, and Zoe won an award in the indie games competition. So then people are like, okay, this is kind of fucked up. Even if technically nothing shady was going on and they would have done those things anyway, like that's something you need to kind of recuse yourself from, or at least disclose, at least be like, hey, this is my best pal that I'm writing about here. This is my best pal that I'm giving an award to.
Yeah. Transparency is always nice.
So then people were mad about that and people were talking about it. And then like there was a big Reddit thread about it, and the Reddit mods started deleting all of the comments. There were like something like 2,500 comments. They all got deleted, every single one. So then people are mad because these Reddit mods are censoring all these comments. They won't let people talk about this thing. And the Reddit mods' excuse was, well, some people were posting personal information and there were too many comments and we couldn't just like weed out the ones that had personal information. So we just deleted all of them because we didn't think this was an important conversation anyway. And then people dug a little bit more and they found a Twitter conversation where the Reddit mod in question was talking to Zoe Quinn about removing, you know, about this post on Reddit. Then they found more conversations where they're talking about getting together to have a drink at a bar. So they're like, okay, like, is she friends with everybody? Jesus Christ. So then people are digging more. 4chan threads are being deleted. Like that doesn't, like 4chan.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah. 4chan threads about it were being deleted. Nobody would let you talk about this anywhere. NeoGAF threads are being deleted. Sites are getting shut down. There's a news site, like a small gaming news site called GamesNosh that posted an article about it and their whole site got taken down. So the more people tried to stifle the conversation about it, the more people wanted to talk about it. And the more people wanted to talk about it, the more digging they did. And more shit kept coming out. In some tangentially related thread on Reddit, this guy comes out and he starts talking about this game jam he put together for women in gaming and how Zoe shut it the fuck down.
Doxed him.
Yeah, doxed him, took his website down. And And then so people started looking into that, and then they redid this thing as an Indiegogo. And then 4chan, the group doing the Indiegogo, is called the Fine Young Capitalists. And their plan was to do a game jam where women would submit ideas, for a game, and then they would get voted on, and then a game would be made. And the woman who submitted the idea doesn't have to do anything except submit the idea. And all, 8% of the proceeds will go back to that woman who submitted the idea, and the rest of it goes to charity. So.
Yeah. And Zoe Quinn's issue was like that it was removing agency when really they were just trying to, essentially they were trying to just inject more women into this just to make it easier for more people to participate.
She compared it to slavery. Like, she was talking about making women work for free and comparing it to slavery. She called them transphobic because they had some sort of policy about, she completely misrepresented it. It was like, they wanted to prevent dudes from just saying, I'm a woman, and participating in the competition. They wanted to make sure it was women. But they didn't have a problem with trans women, but they needed to have some sort of way to prevent it. And there was some wording about something that she took offense to, but she blew it way out of proportion and misinterpreted it, intentionally misinterpreted it, told everyone that they were trying to make women work for free and make them work as slaves, and they were transphobic. And they doxed him and shut him down. They finally came back with this Indiegogo, and 4chan funded the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Which and is great.
Spawned my favorite thing to come out of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like one of the reward tiers. You get to like make a character that'll appear in the game. And 4chan donated enough to do that, and they collaboratively made a character called Vivian James. Who I like the design of, quite a bit. I think she looks cool. And one of the things I like about it is how understated it is. Like they could have, and people probably would have expected them to have, come up with some crazy offensive thing, some like Jewish caricature or something made out of like bleeding vaginas or something.
Oh, well, I remember seeing the thread where they were specifically like, let's make this understated, kind of low key, something really nice. Because that'll really, like, put a bee in her bonnet.
Oh, yeah. They did it on purpose.
Yeah. Which I think is cute.
And, yeah, I like that design. And they donated to this charity thing, this game jam thing on purpose, too. It was, like, a tactic. But it wasn't strictly, like, spite money. They were legitimately not opposed to this idea.
Yeah, and it was a tactic that funded something ostensibly good. So.
Yeah. And now there are, so games journalists are refusing to report on this game jam that you would think like they would be all over, like they were with Tropes versus Women. You would think they would be all over promoting this thing. It's all about inclusivity, but they're refusing to do it, which is crazy. And now there are people jumping on the Fine Young Capitalists, and because they're taking money from 4chan, and they're pointing to, all these nude leaks happened recently with celebrities, and Reddit was posting them, and then Reddit is like some
a hacker known as 4chan.
Yeah. And then a bunch of people on Reddit is some sort of weird, like, atonement decided to donate to charity. And the charity was like, fuck no, we won't take your filthy money.
Reddit gold.
Yeah. But so people are pointing to that and going, see, they did the right thing. And this company is doing the wrong thing by taking 4chan. I saw somebody refer to the money 4chan gave to this game jam as blood money. What blood? Even if you're being like metaphorical, what metaphorical blood are you talking about? Blood money. Jesus Christ. So, God, I should have written like an outline for this shit because there's so much going on. So people are refusing to talk about it. Like people in the media, they're refusing to talk about it. They're shutting down comment sections. They won't write articles about it. Then all of a sudden, at the same time, like I think it was like 12 articles. It was something like 10 or 12. It was at least 10. 20 articles came out at the same time, a lot of them within like a very short period of time on the same day, came out declaring gamers are dead, Gamers are dead. Gamers are over. Gamers don't have to be your demographic. And people got mad about that because that's stupid on its face. Like a bunch of games journalists coming out and saying gamers are over. Gamers are just people who play games.
Yeah.
That is your entire audience.
Destructoid proving themselves the best news site by just saying, what does the word gamer mean to you, reader? I think that was their big article published on it. And I think it was a few days after, anyways.
So all these people post these gamers are dead articles. And to be fair to the articles, which it doesn't really change much, what they were trying to do wasn't so much say that all gamers, all people who play games are over, because that would be completely retarded. What they were trying to do was, for some reason, give the term gamer away, redefine it to just mean the people they don't like.
That also happened with Reclaim anime avatars.
Oh, yeah, which was another fucking stupid thing.
The worst thing in the world.
So dumb. I think Lee Alexander started that. Reclaim anime avatars. Maybe
she
it was some
the escapist.
She's everywhere. She just wrote an article for Time. She's fucking everywhere. She's a whole other story. But so yeah, people were arguing this stuff on Twitter, and a lot of them had anime avatars. And rather than argue against any of the points anyone's making, people started saying anime avatar whenever someone would make an argument. Like some games journalist or sympathizer would make some garbage, bullshit, nonsense statement. Somebody would come in and refute it, and then they would just say anime avatar and leave it at that, like they won some kind of argument. So then they were like, oh, these anime avatar people they're ruining anime, so let's reclaim anime avatars, you fucking nerds. That's funny too, because they've been like trash talking nerds. Like they've been calling everyone who disagrees with them a nerd, a basement dwelling, neck bearded, fedora wearing anime avatared piss baby. Piss baby I saw a lot.
Man baby gets used a lot.
Man baby. Piss baby I took special notice of because I saw it so many times and I'd never really encountered it before. It was unique to the situation.
Piss baby, I didn't recognize it.
I haven't seen it as much recently, but I saw it a lot in like the first couple of days that I started following it.
Nobody's been saying poo babby.
Someone's calling in from a phone number. Add to group call. Hello, phone number.
Hello, phone number.
Turn your radio down, caller.
Oh, no. I think we're being DDoSed. This is what DDoSing is, right?
Is this
They're
like
gone.
Reddit Army?
They hung up. Oh, no. I think we just got hacked by the leader of V. Head mod of V.
I said I love Vivi.
They don't care. Sociopaths. Those 4chaners.
Those 4chans.
What a fucking weirdo. Okay, anyway, if that was somebody legitimately trying to call in, you fucked it up. Try it again. So what were we talking about? The anime avatars thing, piss babies. So what was I talking about before that, though? All the gamers are dead articles? Yeah. So they write all these gamers are dead articles, and what they're trying to do is redefine gamers as piss baby, neck bearded, basement dwelling misogynists, which makes no sense. Why would you give the term gamer away to those people if that is legitimately what your point is? It makes no sense. Gamer just means people who play games. You want to redefine the term gamer to mean people you don't like, shitty, terrible people that you don't like.
They want to do it so they can say gamers suck.
Yeah. Which is weird. It was a weird deflection. And the fact that 10 of them came out at the same time, I don't necessarily think they all collaborated on it. I don't necessarily think it's like some huge conspiracy. Some of them probably just saw it happening and jumped on the bandwagon. But I guarantee you, some of those people talked to each other about it and planned it and did it together on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a tactic to deflect the conversation, to steer the conversation away from what people actually wanted to talk about, which was how shitty games journalism is. So all these games journalists then try to turn the conversation on how misogynist gamers are. And I can't get over trying to redefine gamer that way. To me, it's like if I decided to try to, like if I wrote an article that said black people are over, And then in the article, I tried to make it clear that what I'm saying is, when I say black people, I mean black people who are like rapists and thieves. I don't mean all black people, normal, like law abiding black people. We'll just call them like people with a darker skin color than me.
Yeah.
But from now on, when I say black people, I mean shitty black people. And then I just go around talking about how shitty black people are all the time. And I expect people to be okay with that.
Usually you'd want to use the term Canadians to do something like that. Do you know that joke, Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it good? It was a pretty good joke, if I say so.
It's kind of the opposite.
I know.
So that's why it's not that great of a joke. You keep derailing me, Bames.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so they try to deflect the conversation. They try to steer it away. They don't want you to talk about how shitty they are. So they make all these articles about how gamers are dead. So then gamers see this, and at some point, I'm a little disjointed on the timeline here, but at some point after that, all these gamers were talking on the Gamergate hashtag about how shitty fucking games journalism is. And they kept being called misogynists and racists. They kept being called white man babies, basement dwellers, neckbeards. And so people decided to start using hashtag not your shield because they were sick of these fucking, these self-appointed defenders of minorities talking about how everyone hates women, everyone hates minorities. They just want to keep women and minorities out of gaming. They were like, this is bullshit. I've been on this hashtag, this Gamergate hashtag, talking about this shit, and I'm black, I'm a woman, I'm Chinese, whatever the fuck. I'm not a white male basement dweller. So fuck you. So they started hashtagging not your shield and posting pictures of themselves with pieces of paper, you know, saying like who they are or whatever, and not your shield to prove, hey, I'm not a white man baby basement dweller. And then the weirdo social justice warrior clique in games journalism got mad at that, tried to paint it as, I swear to God, they used this terminology. I'm not making this up. They tried to paint it as 4chan weaponizing minorities. Weaponized minorities.
I did see that post where they said autism doesn't count, but I think that was... I think anybody who read that would have misinterpreted it, because what they meant was you're all autistic, so you can't just use this.
Okay, yeah. So after people started posting hashtag not your shield and these pictures of themselves and stuff to prove, no, we're not all these white minority hating people that you keep claiming we are, the people fighting against them, they don't understand how racist what they're saying is, or how sexist what they're... They say sexist, racist shit all the time, and they don't see it because they think there's some sort of shining beacon of equality. They started talking about how these poor minorities are deluded and they don't understand. They've been tricked.
internalized racism.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Man, anything to discredit the opposition, you will just shit right all over these minorities that you claim to love so much. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, and Anthony Birch said the N-word on Twitter.
Anthony Birch.
Anthony Birch is so the worst. I remember seeing it just a few days ago. He was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've gotten really good reviews at Destructoid from people who are friends of mine for DLC of Borderlands 2 that I worked on, and nobody brought that up. Maybe it's because I'm a man. And then, like, I don't know, the best gamers or whatever replied, like, no, it's because you're a fucking hack.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot. I've been...
Everybody knows it.
I don't go to 4chan much normally, but I have been watching the 4chan threads as this has been going on. And after he did that, somebody posted a screen capture of him saying that, and they were like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, why would you do this? The reason you didn't get called out on that is because none of us thought of it. Way to go, idiot.
Yeah, throwing your friends under the bus.
Yeah, so then they started looking into it. And then I saw another thing that people posted on 4chan, because people started talking about how, just in general, about how Anthony Birch is the fucking worst. They posted this tweet from a while ago that he wrote about how he used to hate women. How he used to be a misogynist, so he understands misogynists, which is crazy to me, because I don't think most, I would bet the vast majority of the people they keep calling misogynists are not and have never been actual misogynists, have never actually hated women for being women. So that explains a lot to me. The idea that at some point in Anthony's life, he legitimately hated women.
Yeah.
No wonder he thinks it's so widespread. Like, he felt that way at some point. He's fucking projecting on everyone. But so that was crazy. I don't know. He's a fucking idiot. What did he do after? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so recently, like yesterday, I think, somebody, some asshole, decided to make a brand new Twitter account and tweeted child pornography at Anita Sarkeesian.
Oh, yeah. She was like, I'm so attacked.
Yeah. And
we
so
tweeted them.
So she's like screen capped the post. Like, I don't think she screen capped the post like with the picture of child pornography in it, but she screen capped a post that had the guy's username in it, and then like tweeted that and was like, oh, look at this. People are sending me child porn. And then, I think this was a stretch, but people started saying, wow, Anita, how irresponsible, tweeting out a username where people can go find child pornography. I think there's a very, very small point in that, but I think, like, if you're really trying to use that to say Anita's distributing child pornography, I think that's a stretch.
I think most of that was smarm.
No, I saw people, like, legitimately, like, what the fuck is wrong with her? This is abhorrent. I can't believe she did that. She's tweeting out child pornography to everybody. Like, you would have to see that post go, oh, this username tweeted child pornography. I would like to see that. And then put in, like, do a search for that username. Like, she's not trying to spread child pornography. That's dumb.
Yeah, that is not plain view.
Yeah. But... Okay, yeah, so somebody did that, and then Anthony Birch was arguing with somebody, and he was arguing about how, like, hashtag Gamergate is all misogynists. So then somebody was arguing with him and saying, that's crazy talk. Like, all these things you keep pointing to as signs of misogyny are just a handful of idiots. They're not even using the Gamergate hashtag. Like, the person who tweeted her child pornography didn't hashtag Gamergate. The person that she tweeted a screenshot from, that supposedly, somebody's calling again. Hello? They hung up. Okay. All right.
We're being hacked.
Man, this DDoSing is going too far. Okay, so...
Oh, misogynist.
So the person who tweeted her child pornography did not hashtag Gamergate, and neither did the person who made an account and supposedly tweeted her a death threat. Neither one of them were talking about games or hashtagging Gamergate. So Anthony's pointing at those things and saying, look how terrible these Gamergate people are. And people are arguing with him and saying, that's nonsense. These people aren't even affiliated with hashtag Gamergate. And even if they were, it's a hashtag. It's not an exclusive club. Literally anyone can use it. So of course, like, somebody who wants to, like, we can't police someone who wants to send death threats. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's retarded to lump everyone together with one guy who sent a death threat. And so then Anthony was like, okay, yeah, well, I mean, some of you might actually legitimately want to talk about journalistic integrity and transparency and stuff. But unfortunately, the Gamergate hashtag is tainted. And by using it, you are, like, implicitly approving of child pornography. That I'm paraphrasing, but that was essentially what he said, and people flipped out over it, and they started tweeting Gearbox, his employer, about how Anthony just labeled everyone using the Gamergate hashtag as people who are into child pornography, want to spread it, want to send it to people. Anthony's a big fat
Phil
fucking
Fish
idiot.
Also said you're all essentially rapists.
Oh, Phil Fish fucking quit the internet.
Went crazy.
Yeah, he lost his fucking marbles and quit the internet. After yelling at some guy who claimed to have been sexually assaulted by, or sexually harassed at least. I can't remember if it was assaulted or harassed, but claimed to have been sexually somethinged by Zoe. Phil Fish, like, jumped down his throat and said, fuck you. It was at a wedding. Phil was like, fuck you. You weren't wanted there anyway. which is another like weird. They're so weirdly inconsistent. But he fucking lost his marbles, shouted at the whole internet, and then quit.
Apparently, may have doxed himself and his employees.
Yeah, that's inconclusive.
Yeah, I don't want to make any assumptions on it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he went so nuts that it wouldn't be completely beyond the pale. but I don't feel comfortable saying that that's what happened. I absolutely could believe that somebody did that to him at that time because they thought, you know, this is perfect. This is hilarious. This is a great time to hack Phil Fish. Just like people have been talking about how Anita probably made up the death threat that was sent to her. She very well may have. Like, if you look at it, she wasn't logged in when she took the screenshot, and the tweets were all sent within like 3 minutes. The last one was like 12 seconds before she screen capped it. It seems a little convenient that she would catch it like immediately like that, screen cap it. But it also it also absolutely could have just been somebody did that. And the reason she was logged out might have just been because like she's an idiot and she thought if she didn't log out somehow she'd accidentally tweet out a screen cap of personal information or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And so the only one of these things that I'm pretty sure is real is I am pretty confident that Zoe Quinn's attack by Wizard Chan back in the day was falsified.
Yeah, that was bullshit. Oh, and by the way, I'm all fragmented on this. Like I said, I should have written an outline. But one of the things that pissed me off about what Sean was saying to me is that Sean's position is essentially that the Gamergate people are right. That journalism is bullshit. Like, gaming journalism is bullshit. There's a lot of things wrong with it. They are right. But that they're stupid to go after it because Sean's too cool for school and he doesn't give a fuck. He's just accepted it. And they're never going to make a difference. His point is, A, that the Gamergate people are never going to make a difference. And B, that the shit that they're fighting against is never going to make a difference. Well, A, they have made a difference. The Gamergate people. Kotaku revised their ethics policy, where they're no longer allowed to contribute via Patreon to game developers.
I think The Escapist made a statement saying that they're going to like tell some of their people to keep it down.
The Escapist, the co-founder of The Escapist said today, I believe, that he is going to post a retraction about the whole Wizard Chan thing, because they had posted about that, about how Zoe was harassed by Wizard Chan. They're going to post like an apology and retraction about that.
Good on them.
And Polygon also revised their ethics policy. They're still allowed to donate via Patreon to developers, but they have to disclose it now. So change is being made, even if it's relatively small and relatively slow. And to his other point about how all this like social justice-y shit, which I guess this is another point, is that there are basically like two things that the whole Gamergate thing is about, and they're directly related because it's all coming from like a specific clique of people. But there are basically two things. One is like journalistic integrity and ethics and stuff like that. And the other is all this social justice bullshit. And they're directly related because they're using underhanded, shitty tactics to push this social justice-y bullshit. Patricia Hernandez at Kotaku kept posting articles about Anna Anthropy's games. And they're both like big social justice-y weirdos and the whatever. And Anna Anthropy was like her former roommate and best friend. And she just never disclosed that. She's just constantly talking about how awesome these games are and never tells anybody that these are my best friend's games. Anyway, so Sean's like, this social justice-y stuff is never going to affect games. I don't know why you're worried about it. Well, I found an Imager album about the ways that this is affecting games. Like the Stanley Parable has been updated because somebody complained about some image that appears in it of a guy setting a black kid on fire.
Is it like a silhouette?
It's like one of those, like those pamphlets you see in an airplane about like putting on your mask and stuff. It's like that kind of artwork. And it's like,
oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it's because he's on fire that he looks like that also.
Oh, that he looks black. Well, there are two.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
It is a black kid. I don't think I have it pulled up anymore, but what it is like, it's like two pictures. One of them is the guy giving the black kid a cigarette, and it's the black kid is supposed to be a kid from a third world country. I forget the exact context. Oh, yeah, here it is. I've got it. Okay. So Developer Galactic Cafe will release an update to adventure game The Stanley Parable in order to alter a pair of images some players found offensive, specifically images of a character in an instructional video setting a young child on fire. In one section of the game, players can watch an instructional video on choice, which consists of a slideshow and narration. Players are shown a character named Steven, who is presented with two choices. He could spend years helping to improve the life of citizens of impoverished third world nations, the game explains, a choice represented by Steven lighting a cigarette for a young boy wearing tattered shorts, or he could systematically set fire to every orphan living in a 30-kilometer radius of the house, or of his house. So that's what it is. And in one of the pictures, he's lighting this kid on fire. In the first one, he's giving the kid a cigarette, and the other one, he's lighting the kid on fire. So people complained about that because it's offensive, and they're actually
bogus.
They're changing it. And there's another one about WildStar to reduce character breast size. Citing feedback from testers and others, WildStar developers will be reducing the breast size of Exile, Cassian, and Auron characters in an upcoming beta patch. People are complaining about characters having boobs that are too big, so they're changing them. there was another one. God of War Ascension will not feature violence against women. There was one I heard about just the other day. Saints Row, the Saints Row 4 developer was like, yeah, going forward, like we've heard all this stuff about how horribly misogynist Saints Row is. So going forward, yeah, we're going to take that we're going to take that on board, and we're going to, you know, try to tone that stuff down and everything. Like this stuff is
Where was that from?
I don't have that anymore. It was some article. Oh. But this stuff is getting... It's infecting the actual game development industry. It is happening. And if you're like, oh, these things are so small, they don't even matter. Well, that's how it starts, man. Of course. Of course. Like, what do you want to wait until it's too late and every game is about a lesbian sitting in a corner knitting? Like, you want to wait till it's over to start complaining about it?
I watched you were talking about God of War Ascension. I don't know when this is exactly from, but... it was on, you know, that internet aristocrat guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a video. One of his three videos about the Quinspiracy.
Yeah. I've watched all of them.
Included the Ben Kacharis confrontation with David Jaffe.
Yeah. I've got that pulled up on a SoundCloud. Yeah.
David
I do too.
Jaffe is a cool guy, actually.
This is maybe kind of lame, but I would actually kind of like to play that. I have that pulled up.
Yeah, like I would love to listen to it again because I've always admired that guy, even if he makes games that are not the best.
It's not directly related in the sense that it's something that happened before all of this, but it is directly related in the sense that it's about journalists being shitty assholes and it's David Jaffe putting them in their fucking place.
Yeah, so I wonder if this had anything to do with God of War Ascension.
I forget exactly. It's about some article that was written about how he's
about how about Twisted Metal, right?
Yeah, he made some joke about like getting your girlfriend to play the game with you or something,
and losing so that she'll blow you or whatever.
Some stupid joke. Who cares?
Whatever.
Not the funniest thing in the world. But then they tried to use that to say he's a fucking misogynist.
Yeah.
Which they must not understand what misogynist means. Either that, or they should be living like. In perpetual fear. They literally think they're surrounded by people who hate women.
Yeah, and the first thing he uses to confront that, I really do like his tact with it, is they're just like, you're not a therapist. You can't keep psychoanalyzing people like this.
All right, I am going to play it.
Sex. I feel terrible about saying it, but nowhere in that sentence do I say the only way you're going to get sex is
it's kind of quiet.
Trickery. That is your reporter bringing her own fucking agenda to the table. And you fucking know it.
Here we go.
This is her analysis, and she's going a little further than what you said.
And you know what? That's okay if you're writing about sort of benign shit, but when you're basically accusing someone of something really fucking awful...
The last is that a girl or woman couldn't actually win a co-op match on her own. Again, not literally what you said. This is how she's interpreting what you said.
And there are...
She's not the only person to have come up with these things, David. And she's putting this in context. Crude vulgarity that puts men in positions of manipulating women for sexual gain is misogyny.
Dude, okay. First of all, it's not misogyny. Misogyny is distrust or hatred of women. That is misogyny. Not, that's what I'm saying. You don't get to just fucking make up your definition and say, where? Show me that.
So manipulating women for sexual gain, you don't think might possibly be related to hatred of women? You don't think
or what the fuck are you people? Are you a fucking therapist? Yes, any action that you do, you could travel it down a certain psychosis or psychological path to get to some conclusion. Absolutely. But to say that as a statement of fact and to bold it and to say this is misogyny, are you out of your fucking mind? Dude, that's Bush League and you fucking know it. And it's her second fucking week or her second day and you don't want to fucking call her out because you make feel like it's a fucking bad hire. That's the truth.
She's not a bad hire. She's an excellent hire. Well, and not every story is going to make people happy. And some stories...
Dude, you know what? Give me a break. If you said Twisted Metal is shit, it's not relevant, it doesn't play well, that won't make me happy, but it's your opinion. You have a right... To not only call someone something awful like a misogynist, or to imply that they're a misogynist very clearly, but to get the definition of misogyny wrong, and then on top of it to basically get your facts wrong, where in there did I say the only way to get sex from a woman is to be underhanded and manipulator? Where did I say that? Never.
She's talking about the tone of the interview and what you're saying in the act of promoting a game. Where do you want this to go, David?
I don't want to go anywhere. I want to go. I'm respecting you because you keep reading shit. Well, I'm happy to be done. Trust me, I'll be done with you. I'll be done with your site. I mean, it's bullshit, dude. It's bullshit. It's Bush League. It's bullshit. And you should be ashamed of yourself. You're a fucking real journalist. I've always respected journalists. That's bullshit. You know, fuck Gawker, man. Fuck you guys. We're done. We're done. Don't fucking write about what the fuck you want, but we're done.
Okay, David.
I feel terrible about saying
and it loops itself.
Nowhere in that.
Yeah, so David Jaffe and Ben Kuchera. Ben Kuchera being a real piece of shit.
Yeah. As per usual.
Yeah. This stuff drives me nuts, and, like, the weird defeatist attitude from people like Sean really pisses me off, which is why I was being rude to Sean and Chuck, because... they're both taking this position of like, I don't give a fuck. This is stupid. I'm so much cooler than everyone else because I don't give a fuck and I've already given up. that's real shitty, you guys, because I know that they would prefer that the Gamergate people prevailed here. So even if you think like it's a stupid thing for people to be fighting against or fighting for or whatever, why are you trying to torpedo it?
Yeah, at least giving them the lip service that you think they deserve would be productive in some fashion.
Or just keep your fucking mouth shut about it. Like, don't fucking trash talk it because you fucking agree with it. You're just resigned. Like Sean pisses me off sometimes because he takes these weird, like, he tries to take this like weird moderate stance. Like there are people.
But he's like aggressively moderate.
Yeah, that's what bothers me about it. There are people who think, as long as you don't pick a side, you're better than everyone all the time. And on all subjects, just not picking a side makes you a better person.
That is kind of what South Park does.
It's, well, maybe.
Although kind for the purposes of comedy.
They sort of pick a side per issue. And sometimes they play both sides like in different episodes or whatever. But they usually go in hard on whatever it is that they're lampooning at the time.
Yeah. One thing that I thought about recently is that I have some sympathy on some level for the people who claim they're being harassed, but I think they are portraying it wrong because I'm not even talking about like the one or two people that may have sent like threats. I'm just talking about like, so like if you become noticed in the public eye, especially for something like a potential scandal, and everybody who has something to say about that says one thing at you, you will receive like potentially thousands of like Twitter notifications or whatever that can lead to some feeling of being, not even harassed, but just like talked at a lot and feeling overwhelmed. But they are doing a bad job of like, I don't know, talking about that.
Yeah, the whole harassment angle. Like, I don't really approve of harassment. I definitely don't approve of death threats, but at the same time...
Harassment makes it sound like it was organized.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the way they're intentionally trying to paint it that way.
Yeah.
And it's so obviously not. Like, if you were, because I have been following the 4chan threads, and I even was at some point in the IRC channel that today Zoe Quinn started posting these screen captures from, nobody even gives a shit about Zoe Quinn anymore. Somehow she's like trying to make herself relevant again. starts posting all these IRC screenshots because she's like, I found the head mod of V's secret IRC channel, and I hacked my way in, and I've been lurking in there and screen capping all their secrets. You fucking idiot. It's a public IRC channel, just like everything else, just like the hashtag, just like 4chan. Anyone can come in and say anything. But if you go in, if you like have been following the 4chan threads like I have, every time somebody says something like, man, fuck this Zoe Quinn bitch, we should fucking harass her, we should fucking dox her or whatever, there are instantly like 10 replies that say, fuck off, Zoe. They say, fuck off, shill, fuck off, Zoe, false flag. Nobody wants Sony anything CEOs, to do with that shit. Leave. What's that?
Sony CEO, please leave.
Yeah.
That water noise.
So every time it happens, instantly people are saying, no, this is not what we're doing. Nobody gives a shit about Zoe. And even if we did, we're not encouraging harassment. Fuck off. Get out of here. But 4chan is an anonymous image board. You can't kick people out. The hashtag is just a hashtag on Twitter. Anybody can use it. So the people who you're actually talking to when you start talking to people using the hashtag Gamergate, or the people you're actually talking to when you start addressing 4chan, are not the people sending these threats. They're not the people harassing. They're not the people doxing. But they keep trying to paint it like it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. People like to paint 4chan as their enemy by just removing all the elements that aren't the things they don't like from it and distilling it down to the white male oppressors.
The thing is, these game journalists and to a certain extent indie game devs, they're all friends with each other. It's a huge clique. It literally is like a cool kids club. And yeah, they don't want us talking about how shitty they are. And to be honest, it probably would have blown over if they hadn't kept trying to stamp it out.
Yeah. And it seems that they don't really want people talking about how strange it is that there is so little transparency in them being a cool kids club like that.
That's like
even
big,
a more productive discussion they would like to stamp out.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Even stuff that doesn't have to do with a complete like corruption. But yeah.
An autographed sneak in the chat says Zoe Quinn Zoe Quinn keeps calling Kyle, but that's not what I meant to read. He says, aren't the writers butthurt that they can't give their video game industry friends money through Patreon anymore? Yeah, that was part of it. I mentioned that Kotaku and Polygon revised their ethics policies. Kotaku won't let people contribute to game devs through Patreon anymore, and Polygon will, but that you have to disclose it. And I saw all these idiots on Twitter, all these like shitty indie game scene people talking about how fucked up that policy is. Some of them flat out called it misogynist. They said, if you don't let game journalists donate to game devs via Patreon, that's misogyny.
Because dudes don't use Patreon.
Yeah. As though there's something inherently feminine about using Patreon. Like, how fucking weird. And Patreon, you can set up Patreon two ways. You can set it up as like a monthly donation, or you can set it up as like pay per content. Like YouTubers will use it and they'll have it set up so every time they release a video, they can like attach that to their Patreon. And if you're a patron, you will give them money for that video. Like it's automatic. It's like a subscription, but you're paying for the videos. But people like Zoe Quinn, using the Patreon, they've got it set up where you just pay monthly. And it turns out fucking everyone, every fucking journalist and a whole bunch of these indie game cool kids are all paying each other via Patreon. It's like fucked up. If you actually look into it, it's like circular. Like one person pays one person, then that person pays this other person, and then that third person is paying the first person. So they're just trading money around. It's stupid.
Eventually inflation is going to come into this.
But
it's a self-sustaining economy.
It's crazy that these people think it's okay for games journalists to pay their best friends money. Like they're just paying their Zoe bill. They're not paying her to do anything. They're just paying their Zoe bill and then write about these people or, you know, other indie game devs too. They think it's totally okay for devs to pay journalists, for journalists to pay devs. and nobody has to tell anybody. And then it's totally fine for them to review each other's games and write articles about each other. Nobody has to say shit. Like, that's insanity. Any other form of journalism, this would be a huge deal.
Oh, I recently listened to a podcast that where the people had just gotten back from PAX, and they had been there like while this thing like more formally erupted. It was last weekend.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, I just straight up overheard this game dev that I or this games journalist that I will not give the name of talking about, I don't know how I'm going to review this person's game because I gave them $1,000 on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter is a little bit different, potentially, at least.
Yeah, since you're like investing almost.
Yeah. Although I do kind of think, like, I guess it depends. Like, if you paid enough into the Kickstarter to get the game, if it's a game, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. Cause like, if I saw a problem with that, I would also have to see a problem with you going to GameStop and buying a game and then reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have paid in like $1,000, then clearly you are invested both monetarily and like emotionally in this thing. And I think then it gets a little bit tricky, but I think it's blatantly obvious with the Patreon that this is like a pal of yours. Like, these people are all friends.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fucking gross because nobody really realized it. Like, it's not, people looked at it like, okay, you know, there are game journalists and then there are game developers and, you know, some of them know each other professionally and stuff. But we're coming to find out that they all fucking like live in San Francisco and go to the bar together. And I guess that would be fine, but nobody ever disclosed it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not totally against the idea of people paying on Patreon for, like, I don't remember what her actual name is. She's since like left the industry a few nights ago, but her Twitter handle was like Genitar.
Oh, Jen Frank.
Yeah, Jen Frank. I think she's fine and people can give money to her, but definitely Polygon's policy, at the very least, of tell people is certainly that should be enforced.
Yeah. Yeah, I think disclosure is enough. Although I think if they did start disclosing, that people would start shitting up the comment section because they wouldn't really like it. They'd be like, okay, of course you like this thing. Like, I think that would be commented on every time, and I think they wouldn't like that either. I don't understand why it's so hard to just have somebody else review it. Although, now that I've said that, it's probably because everybody else on the staff is also in the same position.
Yeah. See, and this isn't something I should necessarily be admiring, but this is why I like Giant Bomb and Destructoid, because Giant Bomb straight up doesn't review games that they are involved with in any way. And Destructoid, I've seen on a lot of cases, like, hey, just I know this person a lot, and they made this game, and I'm reviewing it, so just heads up.
Destructoid is weird. I like Destructoid in general, like as video game websites go. I kind of like Destructoid seems to have sort of a casual vibe to it. But they are like a part of all the weird incestuous relationships. And they've been kind of weirding me out about that for a while. Like, one of the things that weirds me out about the whole thing, like before any of this, Gamergate Queenspiracy stuff happened, I had already talked about it. Like, these games journalists become game devs. Games journalists hop between companies constantly. It's weird that everybody knows, like, it's almost like these different games news outlets don't even actually exist. Like, it's all just one big club, and today I'm going to go write for this one, and tomorrow I'll go write for this other one.
Yeah.
And that's a little fucking weird. Not necessarily shady or wrong, but it's a little fucking weird. And it's because they're all best pals. It's just strange. Like you said last time, Jim Sterling is now a voice actor. Anthony Birch now works for Gearbox. I've talked before about this company called 8-4. 8-4, they do a podcast called 8-4 Play. They're based in Japan, and they're like the head guy Brian something, I can't remember, used to be like a 1UP staffer, and then he left to form this game company. Like, a lot of game journalists go on to become game devs, which is, I guess, fine. I guess I get it. Like, they probably always wanted to be game devs, but they're like too stupid and untalented, so they became journalists instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they make enough connections to go off and found a company. But the whole thing is way too interconnected. Like, it's a little strange.
Yeah. And that's because, like, they like to use this defense when you call them out for corruption, but they are kind of just bloggers. It's because they don't have super, like, if games had the worldwide recognition that something like movies had, where if there was, like, you know, film and lit classes, but for like games, I think the journalism part might sort itself out similarly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all kind of bloggers.
Yeah, well, most of these guys do not have journalism degrees. There are a handful that do, but most of them don't. And the blogger versus journalist thing, if you flat out said, we're not journalists, I mean, that's kind of a strange thing for you to say, but if you did, then I guess problem solved. But they don't. Sometimes they'll say they're journalists. Sometimes they'll say they're bloggers. And it depends on what they want at the moment. If they want to defend themselves from a lack of journalistic integrity, they will say, we're just bloggers. We're just enthusiast press. We're just writing about games. If they want press passes, if they want special access to things, suddenly they're journalists.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. And I saw a hilarious conversation back and forth on Twitter. Zoe Quinn said something about, like, this isn't really about games journalism and integrity or something like that. And then somebody commented something and said games journalists, something about how, like, games journalists should have integrity. And then she commented back, they're not journalists, they're bloggers, which is hilarious to begin with, because her first post that the guy was responding to had called them game journalists. And then after she said they're not journalists, they're bloggers, Jason Sierra or something.
Schreier
from Kotaku jumps in and says, no, we're fucking journalists, which is really funny to me. Boom, headshot.
Yeah.
But it is like, yeah, they're not consistent about that at all. And then they're talking about Jen Frank in the chat. Autograph Sneak says, Jen Frank, hey, the Guardian legal department said I didn't have to disclose it, so who are you to tell me I had to disclose it? I quit video games. Jen Frank is weird. She wrote a piece for The Guardian about, it was another hit piece. It was a piece about how everyone in gaming is a misogynist and they hate women, and how this shit going on right now is about trying to keep women out of games and how harassed women are or whatever. She wrote another shitty, unrelated article trying to spin the whole thing. And then people found out that she was involved with Zoe via Patreon and started talking about that and, like, sending email to The Guardian or whatever. And then Jen was like, then The Guardian edited the piece to put up a disclaimer saying that she was involved with Zoe via Patreon and that she had met Anita Sarkeesian once, which I don't think anybody cares that she had met Anita Sarkeesian once. But then Jen's like, I originally put that in my article, but The Guardian said it didn't matter, and they took it out. Okay, I'm fine. And then she quit. But she wasn't working for The Guardian in the first place, so her quitting doesn't mean anything. Like, people started talking about, oh, you drove this woman out of the industry. She didn't quit anything. She's a freelancer. Yeah,
she didn't actually do anything. She just, like, her quitting is just her deciding, I don't want to do this stuff anymore.
It's like if I put down this cigarette I have right now and say I quit smoking, and then 10 minutes later I light another one, and I'm like, well, I did quit at the time. Like, she could write another article right now,
mm-hmm,
and still be like, I quit earlier, remember? She didn't quit anything. Nobody ran her out of the industry. She's fucking hysterical over, like, I don't even know, like, were people even threatening her? Probably. There probably were some people who were. There are shitty people doing all kinds of stuff. But mostly people were talking, they were mad because you wrote another stupid hit piece, which you did do. You did deliberately misrepresent the situation. So fuck you, Jen Frank. Just because you're crying about it now doesn't make me feel bad for you.
Hashtag Gamergate. So hang on. I'm going to think of all the subjects that the minor topics that I didn't bring up because they weren't completely relevant. A lot of these people involved in this have Twitter avatars that are like them made out of pixels and it's all in the same style. And I think Notch has that too. I hate that. I hate that so much.
Notch might have that. Last I knew, Notch just had a picture of his fat head.
I know Notch had one like that at one point, and Zoe used to. Until now, it's like a picture of
Tom from MySpace. Yeah, because she's real funny. Yeah, Maya Kramer, who is this other figure in the whole thing. She's Lego Butts on Twitter because she's hilarious.
Yeah, she has one of those.
She has one. She's like
I don't want you to use this as a judge of character, but I hate that so much.
Yeah, it's the same thing as like if you really did try to like use that as some sort of ammunition against them. It's the same thing as anime avatars.
I know. That's why I'm not going to.
But it is interesting that so many of them have that. It's a sort of hipster thing. Like this clique that they're all a part of. There are certain like themes there. One of them is like weird social justice-y pseudo progressive bullshit. One of them is like hipster quirky stuff. Like a lot of them have weird colored hair.
Yeah.
And like quirky pixel avatars, and they're real into indie games being artsy. You know, they fell all over themselves to Fallate Gone Home.
I can just see how those avatars got spread around. It's like one guy made one and then somebody was like, that's cool. Can I have one?
Yeah. Maya Kramer, if you went to her Patreon at one point, there was a big, like, I guess banner image, but it was usually when you see a banner on the internet, it's much wider than it is tall. This was like a 16x9 image or something, but it was a ton of those things. So I don't know if she made them or some friend of hers made them all at once, but it seems like a lot of them probably came from this one sheet of these weird little pixel avatars. Anyway, I was going to say something. did you see the article? Somebody wrote an article, and they had like a bunch of points for how to like take back the gaming industry from gamers or whatever. And one of their points was stop rating games on fun. Like stop evaluating games on the basis of fun. Games don't have to be fun.
Yeah, because like fun can include all sorts of problematic things.
Yeah.
Evaluate things on like how progressive they are.
And I sort of kind of get their point because they'll make like analogies to movies. Like a movie isn't necessarily like a movie could make you sad or whatever, or can make you think or can make you uncomfortable and still be a good movie. And the same is kind of true of games, but if the game, like if it's a good game, it's still fun on some level.
Yeah. I mean, like a game, I guess, is more than just the pure platformer gameplay or whatever, but also just go to hell.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Everybody knows that.
It doesn't have to be fun in the same way that like Mario World is fun. But it's still, if it's a good game, it's still fun on some level. It still could reasonably be described as fun.
Yeah, like there are games that I can't think of right now that I would say are not fun in the sense that I would normally use that I like. But like still, you're such an ass. Everybody knows that.
I just can't imagine asking, like somebody says, I just played this game and I say, was it fun? And I just played this game. I really loved it. And I say, was it fun? And they say, not at all. I just can't, like, really?
Oh, Spec Ops The Line is what I was thinking of. That game's not that fun.
But well, Spec Ops The Line is, it's really something.
Weep garbage. But yeah.
Trying to think. There's so much that went on with this thing, and I have been following it. I've been following the hashtag. I've been following the 4chan threads. Like I said, I was in that IRC for a while. I've been following it quite a bit. I've been looking at the posts on Reddit that are actually allowed to stay up. They're sequestered to their own special subreddits because like the gaming subreddit won't allow it. But
yeah, like Kotaku in action.
Yeah. Which is essentially the same thing as Tumblr in action, but it's related to this stuff.
I think it was actually made by the same guys.
Probably. I know there's more to say about this. Like Maya Kramer, I mentioned, she's, like a PR person And as far as I can tell, that's basically her involved. Like, she doesn't do anything really. Like, she's not a game dev really. And she's not a games journalist, but somehow she's like smack dab in the center of all this shit. And Zoe recently claimed that Maya has not ever represented her, but there was a post somewhere that Maya had made claiming that Zoe was one of her game devs. And they're like best pals. It was them together that took down that Fine Young Capitalists thing. I don't fully understand how she's related to this shit, because she's got her hands in fucking everything. Like, she's somehow related to IGF, the indie games. Is it festival or what is it?
I don't know. I don't even think I know what that is.
I can never remember what the F stands for, but it's an indie game competition. There's a cash prize. That thing's corrupt as fuck.
Yeah, doesn't that like go directly to her PayPal or whatever? Or is that like Rebel
Jam? No, yeah, that's Rebel Jam. Yeah. Like right after the
what was that called? It was just called
Game Jam. Yeah, the thing where she was like partnered up with JonTron and the whole thing fell apart before anything really happened. The thing that JonTron referenced when he said he's met her and she's not interesting or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that thing went under, and then like immediately after that, Zoe founded Rebel Game Jam, Rebel Jam or whatever. She set up a website for it. She set up, she had some of her journalist pals talk about it. And if you go to the website for it, there is no start date. There's no information about when to start. There's just you can donate to it, and you donate to it via PayPal. And the PayPal that you donate to is her personal PayPal. She didn't set up anything special for the game jam. You're just giving her money.
So yeah, at best, that's rickety.
Yeah. But yeah, Maya Kramer is involved with all this shit. She was on at PAX. I was watching some of the PAX live streams. They did this panel. I forget what it was called, but it had nothing to do with video games. It was just them watching like old funny YouTube videos, like Japanese commercials and stuff, and talking. And at the end of it, like the whole thing was just garbage, and the people in the PAX in the like Twitch chat were constantly talking about like Gamergate and stuff, and they were talking about how what is this panel, why is this here, isn't Twitch supposed to be video games only? Only game related stuff, what is this, where are the games? And then it gets to the end of it and they take a brief minute to talk about harassment and women in gaming and how poor Maya was harassed for being a woman in gaming. Never mind the fact that she doesn't even identify as a woman anymore. She like is gender fluid or something. And how she has just recently decided to start making t-shirts that say cuties killing gaming. Because like they're trying to take back the idea that they're ruining gaming. While ruining gaming. Like, don't worry, guys. We're still going to ruin gaming, but we're also going to pretend that we're not, and we're going to sell ironic t-shirts about how we are. It was really strange. I don't know. I don't fully understand her involvement, but like IGF, like I said, is totally fucked. Ironically, Edmund McMillan and whatever the other douche from Team Meat were on an episode of Hopcast, which is Anthony Birch and his sister's podcast, where they talked about how fucking corrupt IGF is, how fucked up the judging is. Oh, that's another, that relates back to Jen Frank. Jen Frank was a judge at IGF at some point, and some dev that had entered talked about how fucked up the judging process was, because the judges who played their game, like several of them didn't play it, and the ones who did only played it for like 5 minutes, and like the feedback they got on it sounded like they hadn't played it at all. And so they wrote like this big article explaining everything that was fucked up about the IGF judging process. And then Jen Frank wrote an article that was basically like, shut up, IGF is cool. There's nothing wrong with IGF. The problem is you. Like the title of it was something like that. Like, there's nothing wrong with IGF. You're the problem. Like, these people are assholes.
Yeah, they're so mean. How come everybody's so mean?
Oh, and Lee Alexander, just like the other day, some game dev was talking to her on Twitter about this whole Gamergate thing. And she said like something along the lines of, if I had it pulled up right now, I'd tell you verbatim, but it was very close to this. Something along the lines of, you better watch what you say to me. I'm not as nice as Rami or something, some other guy involved. I am a megaphone and I can like fucking ruin you.
I'm not as nice as my friend Stelio here. Just this giant buff Greek guy.
But she did. She essentially, I mean, not even like subtly, she flat out said, I can fuck this up for you. So watch what you say to me.
Nice.
And then they go on and they talk about harassment and bullying and how horrible the gamers are.
Yeah.
They're all trash. They're all fucking trash people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gross and people hate it. And that's why this Gamergate thing won't go away. It's been going for 3 weeks. And then people like Sean act like fucking shitheads. They don't know anything about it. And they shit on it. And they act like everybody's being a baby, but they don't know anything about it. And that pisses me off. So that's why I was rude to those guys.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, nobody specifically said anything to me like, hey, Kyle, shut up about this thing. But if they did, that would piss me off even more, because part of the reason I haven't been doing more shows lately, like people want me to do more shows. They're like, what's going on? Don't pod fade, faggot, do more shows. Part of the reason I haven't been doing more shows lately is because there hasn't really been anything I've wanted to talk about. Here's a thing I actually give a shit about. And you want me to shut up about it?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Why can't you talk about anime?
I haven't watched any.
Yeah.
Well, I did. If you want to talk about it,
Okay, hang on. I want to have a nice segregation of these two topics so that I don't find myself wanting to come back to it.
I'm sure
Final
I have
thoughts. The word game as a verb has always been shitty. I've always hated it. That's not really related.
The word game as a verb? Like we are gaming?
Gaming, gamers, all of it.
I guess. I mean,
I can't think of a better term, and I think that some kind of term, I guess, is necessary to maybe describe people who play video games, but it sounds shitty.
Yeah, you're not the only person I've heard say that, but I don't really get it. Like you just said, there is no real better alternative, and I don't really understand why it sounds shitty to you in the first place.
So yeah, you can chalk that up absolutely to me being a big baby, but, I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Well, it's not necessarily that I think you're a big baby. I just don't get it.
And I'm exaggerating, but, my final thought, if anyone wants to, like, you know, this has mostly been about like indie game, corruption in journalism. But, if you're wondering about how this stuff is going in, like big AAA games, just remember that like the reason Giant Bomb exists is because Jeff Gerstmann in like 2008 or 9 got fired for giving Kanan Lynch a bad review at a time when Eidos was paying.
Oh, GameStop. Yeah. Okay. That is one thing I did. That reminds me of something I did want to say, which is a lot of people I've seen saying, this is about women in gaming. This is about misogyny. If it wasn't about misogyny, why aren't you going after more men? And why is this only coming up now? Well, A, they are going after plenty of men. In fact, most of the people they're going after are men. Some of them are women. That only makes sense. But most of them are men. And secondly, it has come up before. It's just never come up at a time when everybody's been talking about it. So yeah. It sucks, I guess, that it came out because there was a scandal attached to it. But that got everybody on the same page and fucking talking about it at the same time. So shut up. Like, nobody really wants to talk about Zoe sleeping with five guys anymore. It's not about women. The only reason people are talking about Anita Sarkeesian right now is because she keeps shoving her fucking face back into it. It's not
like
about
a more
women.
Legitimate version of the circumstances under which Yes All Women was started, I think.
I don't even remember the Yes All Women thing. You're like, Yes All Women get fucking raped. I forget.
Do you remember Elliot Rogers?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 5 episodes ago in your time.
Yeah. No, I remember now. Yeah. So the Elliot Rodger thing happened, and then like he did hate women. He did have a problem with women. Well, but
he hated everybody. Yeah.
But he was also like a fucking crazy person who thought the whole world was all fucked up, and he wanted to kill all men, and or not all men, but most men, and enslave all women or something. It was really strange. Like, he had crazy delusional ideas, and people kept talking about how terrible like his misogyny was, and they would compare. They would say he was an MRA, which he wasn't, a men's rights activist. He wasn't one. And they would say he killed all these women, but he killed more men than he did women. So I don't know. That whole thing was stupid. But okay, I get what you mean though, because the yes all women thing started because of that. But the yes all women thing was just flat out dumb. But yeah, it started.
That's why I say it's better.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the same idea. Like, okay, if it wasn't fucking dumb, saying why are you only talking about this now would be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say was, like, I complained about Gone Home. I said it was a shit game, and the only reason people cared about it was because it involved lesbians. And I still think that that's true. I still think that the reason people care about it is because they see it as progressive. I do believe that some people had a good experience with it. Like, it's not a complete piece of shit, but it's not much of a game. It didn't deserve a 10 out of 10.
It didn't deserve a Spike VGX award.
Yeah.
Best indie game of the year.
It shouldn't have been like anybody's game of the year or anything. It was like a little niche indie game that there wasn't much to it. It wasn't important in any way. And I didn't realize at the time, I don't think, that Polygon, I believe, was the first one to give it a 10 out of 10. And the person who gave it a 10 out of 10 was good friends with the developers. They used to podcast together.
Great.
So it's just, this shit's all over the place. And people just didn't know about it because people weren't talking about it all at the same time. And now they are. And I think that's a good thing. And yeah. I've been complaining about this. Like I said earlier, like, people keep saying it's not about women. It's about ethics and journalism. But I think it's, and it's not about women, but I do think part of it is about like the whole social justice thing. And I think it's because they're so intertwined, because all of these people in this clique are also these social justice-y, pseudo progressive, pat each other on the backs for how, you know, non-sexist they are people. I just derailed myself. I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I was trying to think while you were talking.
Shit, what was I saying?
Well, there you have it.
I was getting to a point. I forget what it was. Oh, God.
I think the worst thing about this activism that I could say is that it's all happening on Twitter, which is a poor place to have discussion. But
yeah, I suppose. I mean, I kind of agree with that. But I think part of the... I think it's good at the same time, because Twitter is a way more public sphere than any of the other places this could have been taking place.
Yeah.
I think to a certain extent, the games journalists who tried to shut the whole conversation down by disabling comment sections, going in and manually removing comments, the people on Reddit who shut down Reddit discussions about it, I think these people actually kind of shot themselves in the foot doing that, because it ended up all funneling into Twitter, because that was the only place anybody could still talk about it. And Twitter has hashtags, and hashtags can trend, and these things start showing up in people's feeds because they're friends with people. Other people see it trending and they're like, what's this Gamergate thing? It's way bigger than it would have been if you just let people talk about it in your Kotaku comment section.
Yeah. So that's good, I guess.
If anybody listening has anything they want to say about this, and they want to call in about it, now would be the time, because I think we're almost done talking about it, even though I'm sure I have more to say. I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
I still can't remember what that thing I was going to say was.
Well, anyway, anime of the year of the season is back. And bigger than ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
By which I mean those scissors are bigger than ever.
Yeah, Kill la Kill. The Kill la Kill special, like, OVA episode or whatever came out.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it.
Not a beach episode.
You watched it.
To my slight chagrin.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. I don't know if it would have been good or not. But I did hear that rumor at one point that it was going to be a beach episode.
I remember seeing people, like, make fake screenshots of what it would look like. And I was like, don't even do this because it's going to break my heart.
Yeah.
But it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I was talking to Sixer Mason on Twitter, Michael Mason, about this. I think he's the one who alerted me to its existence. Like, otherwise, I don't think I would have known it had come out. And then he asked me what I thought about it. And I said to him on Twitter that I had slightly mixed feelings about it, but I liked it. And I really did like it. I liked it more than I had mixed feelings about it, which is why I say slightly. The only reason I have slightly mixed feelings about it is because if it was like a regular episode of the show, I don't think I would have liked it so much.
It would have felt very disjointed. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like crazy over the top. Like, Kill la Kill isn't realistic to begin with, but it kind of has its own rules. Like, it'll only go so far in certain domains. But this special episode is completely over the top, like almost all the way through. And it gets so crazy, like with those scissors. Like, it gets way crazier than it would have gotten in the main actual series. But the reason I'm okay with that and I liked it is because to me it felt like they were celebrating the series, having fun with it. It's over. Let's do this. Like, let's just go all out and have fun with this thing.
Yeah, it felt like almost fan service has connotations.
Yeah, but
Service to the fans, literally.
Yeah, not meaning fan service in terms of boobs or ass shots, but yes.
The problem I could have with it is that, like, I don't know, it could in some capacity potentially undermine the scope of, like, the battles or whatever in the show proper.
Yeah.
But that's a minor detail. And also, a lot of those, like, special moves at the end, the screaming on those could have been toned down a little on Ryuko's part. But just because it was like one after the other. But there were a lot of little things that I, having watched this show three times, picked up on. One of them being Mako does this thing where she like launches herself at Ryuko and she says her name in a specific way. She goes like, Ryuko-chan. And
yeah.
That's the thing from episode one, actually. And yeah, a lot of the poses are just reminiscent of just stuff from earlier episodes. And that part when, you know, when they all suddenly, like, the Elite Four, they beat their shadow selves, and Inamuta, he just presses the power button on himself. Because in the original fight, in, like, episode 10 of Kill la Kill, when she, like, there's, like, a part where she, like, zooms up behind him and, like, looks at the back of his neck, and I'm like, is she just going to press the power button? Because that would be the best. And she didn't do that, and that was disappointing to me.
Yeah.
But then he does that in this. So it was satisfying.
Yeah.
And I like that they did another one of those flashbacks where they changed the aspect ratio because it's older. And
yeah,
I like that.
It's weird. I never, in the main series and when I watched this, I didn't actually notice that. I've heard people mention it, but I didn't actually notice it, which is strange, I guess. The aspect ratio thing.
Yeah. And at the end of the finale of the show, you know, it shows like Ryuko and Mako going out on a date and Satsuki has short hair when they run into her. And then at the end of this, it shows Satsuki cutting her hair off with a Bowie knife.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that they... It's almost like it's almost like tying up loose ends in a way, but really it's just like they found everything that they could do more with and they decided to add that in.
Yeah, it was just like, let's have fun with this. Like, what would be fun to see these characters do or whatever? And like, a lot of it was kind of contrived. You know, like if it had been a regular episode, I would have sort of had a problem with it because it's like, it's sort of like, like
if it had been the last episode of the show, like for real, it would have felt super limp.
Yeah. Well, like the part where, Spoiler alert, everybody. Okay. The the part where, like, Yuko gets knocked into, like, this chasm and she's falling headfirst into this pit. And then, like, Senketsu, who is fucking dead, burned up on reentry or whatever. He, like, his ghost, I guess, sends her,
like,
the scissors.
Manifests in the scissor blades.
Yeah. And, like, the scissor blades just come falling out of space, like, right to her. If that was an actual plot point in the main show, I would have thought that that was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, it was just sort of like, and it was just like, fuck if it was logical or not. Like, it would just, it'd just be nice for her to turn this around. And this is like a nice sentimental moment or whatever.
Yeah. And another thing, there was like three or four lines where she talks about, like, I guess I really have outgrown my old sailor uniform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I
thought
was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked all the custom DTRs for the
Elite
Four. I like the way that he says DTR.
Yeah. What does DTR stand for?
Dotonbori Robo.
Okay.
It's the thing, the first one that ever shows up is the one that Takarada has, his big crab bot.
Yeah, it's the is that considered one?
Yeah, that the first one to show up, he calls it the Dotonbori Robo.
Yeah, most of them are the, like, mecha things used by Nudist Beach, where they, like...
Yeah, the little mini Metal Gears.
Yeah, where then the way they sit in them is so ridiculous. Like, they stick through them, like, in a Superman kind of pose, sort of, but with their arms back.
So their legs are out.
Yeah, like, they're laying down on their stomachs in them, and their legs are sticking out the back end.
And the part when Jakazure is being, like, chased by herself, and she's like, "Man, I'm annoying."
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's all great.
Oh yeah, and the whole here are your dark selves, made from life fibers. Like, now you have to
made from, like, the old scary images of you.
That whole thing,
being all authoritarian.
If that was, like, the final boss in the real show, that would have been ooh. But it was kind of fun for this.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know, the whole episode feels like a reminiscence.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Which works.
Yeah, like I said, it sort of feels to me like a celebration of the series. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't this great, guys? Let's do it one more time and let's just go all out and make it all kinds of crazy fun.
Yeah. Oh, and in that flashback, when they show Ragyo being dressed like the boss, picking up
Homomaru. Yeah.
And being like, okay, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to give you the worst name ever. Homomaru.
I wonder what her old name was.
Jib-Jub. I don't know.
Probably Jib-Jub. It was probably Jib-Jub. I think she lucked out in that case. I don't know. I don't think Jib-Jub is... I think Jib-Jub is a worse name.
Okay.
You think it's a better name? You think she should have stuck with Jib-Jub?
Homomaru. Two long O's. I don't think that's real. It very much, you can tell that she made it up on the spot.
Well, she had cool sunglasses on.
Any fans listening who are named Homomaru, I don't know, jump off a bridge. Get it, or change your name legally, whichever is easier.
I did like that in that scene when Ragyo is, like, recruiting Homomaru, that's like, this character had been wearing these sunglasses all the time throughout the series. And it's like a weird thing, like a weird origin story bit for them to show this is where she got the sunglasses. Like, Ragyo takes her sunglasses off and gives them to her. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I liked it a lot. In other anime, since I haven't listened to your Alpha Counter or whatever, I don't need you to, like, just say all the things you said about it on that podcast, but give me just a quick rundown of Kuroko no Basket.
Well, I watched, there are two seasons of it. I watched all of season one and two episodes of season two. And I don't know yet if I'll keep watching it, because I did like it, but I haven't watched it since we did that podcast, so I'm probably done with it. But I did like it. And the podcast was basically Sean summarizing the show and then us like talking about bits from it. I mean, it's, I guess, what you would expect it to be. I'm not sure exactly what you want to know. Do you want to know about the show? Or,
well, since it's a sports anime and I've been watching one that is tangentially something like that, and you had been giving me, the business when I recommended it to you, I want to know the things about it that you liked so I can see if I want to recommend Hajime no Ippo to you.
Well, here's the deal with the concept of sports anime. I would not have watched it, except that when Sean invited me to be on the show, he told me that he had been paid to watch it and that he was going to talk about it in that episode. And if I was going to be on the show where he was going to talk about that show, I wanted to know about the show he was going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I watched a bunch of it because otherwise it would have been a real shit show. It would have been Sean trying to tell me about this anime and then me trying to feign interest. So I watched it and I wasn't totally shocked that I ended up kind of liking it. It is nowhere, like if I had to rank every anime I'd watched, it wouldn't be anywhere near the top. It's not my favorite show at all. Like I said, I probably won't even go back to watch the rest of it, but I did like it. And that's not a shock to me because I've seen like sports movies and stuff and I've enjoyed them well enough because it ends up being about the characters and it's stupid because they try to make it like a battle of good versus evil, even though they're really just playing a game. But you get, like, if you watch enough of it, you get into it. You get invested in the characters or whatever. So if I did watch this Hajime no Ippo, if I forced myself to watch it, at some point, I probably would get into it. But I have no baseline interest in sports anime.
So what you're saying is that I need to pay Sean Ryan $50 to watch this show and have you on his podcast again.
I guess.
It's just odd. I'm almost done with it. It's 76 episodes long is the thing. So I don't know if I'd expect you to watch through all of that. But just the way that they have relations between the characters in the show is so neat because they are just, you know, going into a ring and beating the piss out of each other. And there's really no characters in the whole show that are like pure villains. Even this guy Mashiba, who's like kind of a dirty fighter and really scary looking, is like, they make him a real character. They expand on it, and you know, a lot of characters are revisited after they've fought, and I don't know, it's so neat to me. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't really be your kind of thing.
Well, I'm not averse to it, but I'm not particularly interested in people fighting. Like, fighting isn't as interesting to me as I think it is to a lot of people. Like, I'm not disinterested in action or whatever, but I'm not excited because a show is going to feature people fighting each other. And especially not if the reason they're fighting is because it's a game, like it's boxing or whatever. Like if I was going to get excited about a show about fighting, I would rather it be that they're fighting each other because they're actually fighting each other. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I guess. See, this show it's hard to put in words exactly what I think is so good about it. Cause I don't know, just it, the best moments of it are like when the characters are talking right before the match. And you can tell that, like, in their voice, they're like, oh, we're going to have to fight. And this one guy is fighting so that he can, like, feed his mom back in Russia. And he's like, so, you know, if I lose, my mom's pretty much dead. And it's like, okay. And it's, you know, it's all the characters. Like, I want to know what it's like to feel strong. And the best moments are also, like, you know, just in the match when he finally makes that punch and he feels so cool.
I think one of the things that was interesting. Again, like I said, I wouldn't have watched Totoro's Basketball if I hadn't had to watch it for that podcast. But I think one of the things that I liked about it while I was watching it is that it's not just guys playing basketball. It's very like everybody in the show pretty much who plays basketball has like a basketball superpower.
Yeah, that's the thing in this too.
Okay. The basketball superpowers are really silly, but it's also like it does make it more interesting, because if it was just people playing basketball, like I think I would have, it would have been a struggle to keep myself watching it.
Yeah. And another thing watching this is that like there's, it feels like such a classic telling of how this story would go and all these tropes in anime and how it works. There's a lot of them that I can't completely identify, but just like watching the first couple episodes, it feels like it, this is like the quintessential one of these kinds of shows. And then I think about it and I'm like, oh, it's because every other show is drawing on this, because this came out a super long time ago. And that's really interesting. That's just the kind of thing that I also get when I watch like Fist of the North Star.
I've never watched Fist of the North Star. I know people like it a lot. It's like a classic. I don't think I would care that much for it from what I've heard about it. I know I tried, like Tan James, who is the one who paid for Sean Ryan to watch basketball anime. He linked me to a stream of people watching Baki the Grappler once, and I tried to watch that and I just completely lost interest. That did nothing for me.
Yeah, Baki the Grappler is like a more raw and less structured version of Ippo, and it's not quite as good.
I barely even remember what happened in that. I just remember Baki eating bananas.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched, the only anime I've watched this week was Kill la Kill, and the last anime I watched was, before that, was Totoro's Basketball for the podcast, so it's been a while.
Oh, man.
I may have finally burnt out on it. I may have finally, ended my binge.
Thank God. Now we can all go home. That's another thing I really like about Ippo and Fist of the North Star when I think about it. They use, there are these lines that are so clearly supposed to be like on a poster or whatever, that are just these, like, when I tell the people back in Russia about the strongest man I ever fought, I'll tell them that he lived on an island in the east, in the West Pacific Ocean, a samurai from Japan. And like whenever in Fist of the North Star, whenever he talks about why he has to do something, he talks about the stars in the sky feeling his pain. So that stuff always gets to me. And the voice acting in the show is just, it's fun to listen to.
Oh,
which I know is a weird, like almost a shallow thing.
No, that makes sense to me. Like I think I said in one of the semi-recent podcasts that I, or maybe it was in an after show, that I don't really pay a lot of attention to seiyus. I'm not a big Japanese voice actor guy, but I do have a favorite that I like took notice of. I think it makes sense to like to enjoy the sound of certain voices or whatever.
Yeah, and since it's boxing, which is not like a Japanese original sport, they use a lot of English.
Yeah.
That's the thing I really like about Kill la Kill 2 is just the way everybody talks. Like, I don't know if I've actually ever said this on the podcast, but here's one thing that I was disappointed about by the Kill la Kill OVA. Gamaguri never said his name, because just every time he would do that, he would introduce himself and say, Gamaguri da da. I would watch it because I've seen the show a million times. And I'd be like, he's going to do the thing. And then he would do it, and I'm like, he did the thing. So I really like that.
Bames, you're a fan of English in anime, right?
Yeah.
There was some good English in Totoro's Basketball that I played a clip of on that episode that Sean and I did.
I could see that. Maybe I'll check that show out.
It was in the second season, though. It was in the first episode of the second season, so Sean wasn't even familiar with it. I didn't know when he told me he was going to watch that show that he was only watching the first season, which is why I went a couple of episodes into the second. But in that first episode, one of the characters in the show spent a lot of time living in America. He's a Japanese dude, but he kind of grew up in America, and which is why he's so awesome at basketball. And there's a flashback to when he was in America and there were American people around. So they had them speaking English, and whoever they had do it, it wasn't the thing where they just have a Japanese guy do it with a horrible Japanese accent. It was the thing where they do get a native speaker, but they still fuck it all up. Do you want to hear the clip? It's not that long.
Yeah, sure. Was it just like bad lines?
Well, let me play it and then you tell me.
Hey, you're awesome, man. It would be a tremendous help if you could join our team for the next game.
Game?
Yeah. Every week we bet our game for the ownership of the week. But we've been losing since one guy was in the other team. He's one hell of a good player.
A hell of a good player?
Okay, sounds fun.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So
like, what were they doing?
So they were, it was, so the Japanese guy, and a black guy with dreads, the more English sounding English voice was a black guy with dreads. they're like talking like the black guy's like, hey, you should come be on our team and help us out, 'cause there's this other guy who's way too good at basketball and he keeps shutting us down or whatever.
The hell of a good player.
Yeah. I don't know. The guy says tremendous.
Yeah.
It would be a tremendous help. I don't know if that was like an Australian guy or a guy from New Zealand or something that they just pulled because he was a native English speaker, because he definitely speaks with some sort of accent. Or if it was like a Japanese guy who learned English and learned to like ditch his Japanese accent, but he was going for, you know, Australian or New Zealand or something. I don't know what it was, but it's definitely not an American black man.
Yeah, that's weird. There's actually one of the best ones I've ever heard. I'll post it in the chat. It's from the show. I think it's from The Legend of Black Heaven, which is a show that I've heard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, I think he referenced it when I played this clip for him. Is it the one with the big black guy with like a nasally Jersey accent or something?
Yeah, he's just like, hey, what are you fucking saying about me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen that, and Sean referenced it in the podcast.
Yeah. And say hi to the guys in Jersey for me.
Yeah.
Because he's just this big, giant guy, which is like, hey, what are you talking about, man? So, yeah. I like English in anime. I like it most in, like, full phrases, more so than in, like, you know, like, just talking about a Daipinchi. I like it when a guy goes like, oh my god, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there a scene in Kill la Kill where, like, the American football team, like, the American football club or whatever goes like, oh my god.
Yeah. And Mako does that every now and then. She goes like, let's go, Dayo. And let's skinny diving, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Let's skinny diving.
It's subtitled as Let's Go Skinny Dipping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know I've said this before, but I do love the Japanese use of let's.
Yeah, because just, I guess they just, well, no, they do have an equivalent of that.
I guess they just
don't understand it.
I think they just like the sound of it, but they kind of understand it, but not really, because it's always like let's and then like a noun.
Mm-hmm. They know let's go.
Yeah, let's basketball.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a particularly long show, but should we end it here? Or because otherwise I feel like it's probably going to peter out. Unless anybody...
Yeah, I think, out of things.
Because I mainly just did want to talk about the Gamergate thing. And like I said, I'm sure I could come up with more stuff to say about it, but I didn't. I should have like written down an outline of everything I wanted to address.
And you know what? I'll say right on the show, the Gamergate thing went slightly better than I was expecting. Not that I was like expecting you to be like, I don't know, rude or whatever, but like, I was like, you know, it's probably just going to be like him talking and being like, yeah, sure. which is how I get on things that I don't know much about. So let me just say that I'm very proud of myself for saying things.
Okay, good. For the record, I don't really give a fuck about Chuck, but I don't hate Sean, even though I was supposedly, well, I mean, I was, I suppose, rude to Sean. He just said something that pissed me off. Yeah, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless anybody wants to call in and interrupt me trying to end the show, I think I'm going to end the show. So, thanks for listening, everybody. As usual, there are niggas in my butthole. And we'll check you next week.
Nice.
Word.
Word.
So it goes, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in, niggas in, niggas, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in, niggas in, niggas, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in, niggas in, niggas, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in, niggas in, niggas. I was a white bitch, I was a white cracker. Then he went in my bedroom and then he said, I'm putting my dick in your butthole. It's niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole.